right, all right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Classic Corner. I hope everyone is having a good Wednesday and a good week. Lazy day here in the Classic Corner, just relaxing, and gonna talk about some Pink Floyd today for the show. For you guys, we have here in the studio Will. Hey, Will.
Doing? How you been, Mr. Johnny?
And he's gonna join us today. Like I said, we're gonna, you know, talk about the good Pink Floyd. Gonna hear from each member of the group. Gonna talk about each member, play some of the songs kind of like from last week, like we did with Led Zeppelin. And we're gonna have a good time here from 8 to 9, the Classic Corner. This is radio.dominican.edu with DJ King and Will here in the studio. We have here for you the good Pink Floyd. I hope you guys have a good time.
Don't go away.
Don't go away. Radio.dominican.edu, the Classic Corner, here playing the one and only Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd is one of the most interesting bands in the world, definitely. Their sounds and their music, what they've created has left such an imprint, especially in the classic rock world, that they're almost not naming them you know, as one of the head classic rock bands, it would be absolutely insane. You know, same goes like what Led Zeppelin, Jimmy, you know, all, you know, Beatles, all the classics. But Pink Floyd is definitely one interesting one from the group because of their because they from those other bands is more like poppy sort of hard rock, while Pink Floyd is not so much pop as in their later stuff.
Psychedelic,
It's, you know, psychedelic progressive, you know, with their progressive music. And of course, you know, we have Dark Side of the Moon, which is one of the biggest albums, you know, ever.
Yeah.
But Will, I was wondering, how did you find out about Pink Floyd?
How I found out about Pink Floyd? I'd say through the radio. I'd say it was a big one. They're kind of a very distinct band with a distinct sound, like you were saying. And through friends, a lot of my friends liked Pink Floyd, and then that was kind of like a good indication to like be like, oh, okay, this is a very big influential band. And I know it wasn't like it just hit me. It was something that I think how everyone gets into Pink Floyd, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you dig, you know?
Yeah. For me, well, it was around eighth grade when I started to like actual good music, and you know, Pink Floyd just kind of came in. And I actually remember the day I first heard Dark Side of the Moon. You know, I downloaded it because I knew. You know, everyone knows the picture with the prism.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that picture is so popular. You know, it belongs to Pink Floyd. You know, why not give it a try?
Why does this picture keep popping up everywhere?
Yeah. Why is this everywhere? So why not? Let's give it a listen. I remember the word I said right after I listened to Dark Side of the Moon was wow. It was a beautiful experience, and like. How I listened to Pepper for the first time, but Dark Side seemed to have much more of an
impact.
Not
Pepper, the Hawaiian band. We're talking about the Beatles' first album.
As in Sergeant.
Yeah, we're not talking about Pepper here. Sorry.
Do you remember the first time you heard Dark Side?
Probably not too long ago. The whole album completely?
The entire album.
Not too long ago.
Oh, yeah?
The whole album completely was... I won't say how I got to listen to the whole album because that's illegal.
I see.
I probably would say because I started learning how to download albums. I'd probably say over the summer.
Okay.
Collectively, the whole album. Yeah.
It's you know, a funny thing. I do is that one day we had a substitute in our Spanish class, and
sounds sexy.
And he put in.
Don't ruin this for me.
He put in. It was Aladdin. It was Aladdin in Spanish, and I wasn't in the mood for Aladdin.
I wasn't nowhere in the mood for Aladdin.
I wasn't in the mood for Aladdin, so you know what I put on? You know how they say that if you play Dark Side of the Moon and Wizard of Oz together, it goes together?
They sync up, yeah.
So why not Aladdin and Dark Side of the Moon? I could have made a great discovery.
But no.
Yeah, it turns out they do not go together, as well as Over the Hedge. Over the Hedge and Dark Side of the Moon does not go together.
Ah. I think it's just terrible movies and just don't go together.
Yeah. It's only like really good movies. I recommend to anyone who is forced to see a movie they do not want to see, play Dark Side of the Moon, because it's going to be a fun experience. Because sometimes, you know, coincidentally, sometimes the characters or whatever do actually go with the music, and it's kind of fun. Like, ooh. You know,
sometimes the characters actually sing the songs, yeah.
And they sing and they dance.
They look you in the eye. And
that wasn't in the movie when
what
I
does
first
this have
saw
to do with anything? Why is Aladdin singing Roger Waters?
Yeah. Well, so I mean, we for the formation of Pink Floyd, we definitely have to acknowledge,
Mr.
Sid Barrett.
Barrett, yeah.
Mr. Sid Barrett, which was one of the first founding members of Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd started out. Actually, as with Roger Waters and Richard Wright, who was the bassist and the keyboardist for the Pink Floyd, and they were I think around college when they started making music. And at first it wasn't Pink Floyd; it wasn't the psychedelic sound. It was actually they first started to cover some rock and roll hits with other people, of course, not just those two. And over the years, they went through like certain interesting names like Sigma Six and the Teacups, until they finally got into Pink Floyd around mid-60s. And, you know, imagine this, Will. You're a teenager in London, not London, well, somewhere in England.
I'm already there. Okay.
And your friends decide to go to this club, you know, this underground club, and you look around and you see lights and crazy psychedelic music.
I'm running away from that building.
And what you see is you see four guys, and they're playing. What made Pink Floyd popular in the first place wasn't so much as their, you know, modern psychedelic sound that was happening, you know, during the time, but so much as their light shows. They had the drug scene, of course, that was happening. So, you know, here you are on acid or whatever, and you have these crazy lights. I mean, of course, this band blew up because of certain responses like that.
Yeah. As well as Captain Crunch and lots of other things. But unlike Captain Crunch, there was a genius hidden under those lights.
Then Pink Floyd got signed on to EMI. They played in Abbey Road Studios in 1967, the same time the Beatles were recording Sgt. Pepper. And rumor has it that they've talked with each other and exchange ideas, actually.
Imagine that's too super. That would like...
That's like superheroes meeting each other.
If you saw a picture of that, that would be...
I wish.
That would be insane. Imagine just walking to a room and you're like, yeah, this is a nice day. And then suddenly there's like Pink Floyd and then the Beatles just talking with each other.
And they invite you over.
And you're like, no, I'm going to go use the bathroom for a second. Like, wait, why? Don't ask questions.
So we're going to give you here a little taste of what the early Pink Floyd sounded like back in 1967. And, you know, you're going to get a reason why they became so popular. This is radio.dominican.edu, the Classic Corner. The time is 8:14.
Emily tries, but misunderstands. She's often inclined to borrow somebody's dreams till tomorrow. There is no other day. Let's try it another way. You'll lose your mind and play. Three games away. See Emily play. Soon after dark, Emily cries. Gazing through trees in sorrow, hardly a sound till tomorrow. Touches the ground. Float on a river forever and ever, Emily. Emily. There is no other day. Let's try it another way. You'll lose your mind and play. Three games for me.
So with the growing of the Pink Floyd popularity, the lead singer, Syd Barrett, became very hard to keep with, hard to follow. The rest of the band was normal, while, you know, here we have Syd Barrett doing, you know, a lot of acid, not showing up for gigs. There was this one time where, and I'm pretty sure it happened more than one time, this is one time where, you know, Pink Floyd played a gig and Syd did not even play guitar. He was standing there with a guitar in hand, but did not play a single note. It got worse and worse and worse, and Pink Floyd decided that it was time to go for Syd. And around 1967, when Pink Floyd started to notice Syd becoming a bit distant from the band, they hired David Gilmour to come in, you know, to do a few gigs. And
it's like a protege, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like the understudy.
Yeah.
And so here we have David Gilmour, the new guitarist, new guy on the block, and definitely he would definitely prove to be most useful. Will, what do you think of David?
I love David. Let's go with that one.
David's just great.
He's a fantastic guitar player. Yeah, he encompasses a lot of different styles of guitar playing. I don't know too much about his history, except for when he joined. But I mean, you can tell from a lot of different albums that he
proved most useful.
He was a very just eclectic guitar player, and he was a singer as well, and he was kind of like a superhero, like within that supergroup. So he fit in perfectly, as you were saying. Yeah,
he really jumped in. I mean, here we have the first track of A Saucerful of Secrets, which is the second album by Pink Floyd, the first one not to feature Syd Barrett. I mean, he's there in one song, but you know, David sings on the first track. And he plays lead guitar. Do you ever look to David, Will, for inspiration? I mean, because I know you're a guitar player.
Not a good one. Let's keep that in mind.
But would you definitely call him one of your inspirations, yeah, or idols?
If I could be as good as David Gilmour, I'd be more than happy. I would just walk around with a shirt off and just look at people mean. If I could play...
And play the comfortably numb solo the entire time.
Hope I never get that good, which I won't, don't worry.
Good old David. He, beautiful voice, great guitar player, and he's up there with all the guitar gods, you know, with Jimmy Page, yeah, and Jimi Hendrix. He's definitely standing shoulder to shoulder. I would definitely not put him any... I mean, you know, some of those guitarists are better than others,
yeah,
but definitely David...
Peter Frampton, all those guys.
Yeah, all those guys. But, you know, I mean... You look at all of them at once and see what's the difference. I mean, that he is incredible. Incredible. I don't know much to say. you hear his guitar solos in every single album.
Yeah, yeah. And he also had a different sound as well. There a lot of the different guys. I mean, there's a lot of big name guys that we've talked about, like Jeff Beck and Jimmy and Eric, mm-hmm, who all focused on blues. And he focused on blues too, but he also... he had a different sound than that, and it helped with the psychedelic tone of
the band.
Yeah, so I know I'm sounding boring right now, blah blah blah, but yeah, no, he was a fan. He was the addition to the band. He wasn't just a addition to the band. He was, you know, he really
forever Pink Floyd.
Forever Pink Floyd.
Forever Pink Floyd for David.
And he looks fantastic now. He aged well, so that helps.
Very well. But
gotta mention that.
But you know, but every single album I notice actually that he plays you know, at least one guitar solo or a few guitar solos, and just like imagine that, because every single guitar solo David plays, he does not waste a single minute on it. You know, he has his own sound, and he has definitely not just, you know, Comfortably Numb, Money, all those ones. I mean, he definitely shows a lot in other songs and albums,
especially in this next song. It's perfect to display. We were talking about this earlier, but yeah, go ahead.
He uses, and he, you know, even after the Pink Floyd, you know, you have to hear some of Pink Floyd's live stuff. It's just absolutely incredible. But here we have here a classic, Time by Pink Floyd off The Dark Side of the Moon, which is, I think, one of my favorite David Gilmour guitar songs. This is radio.dominican.edu talking about Pink Floyd, DJ King, classic rock. Don't go anywhere.
Something more to say.
All right, and we're back. So what you just heard is David Gilmour's incredible guitar solo in Time, and definitely one of the best ones in the entire Pink Floyd. That one just, sometimes I even like it better than Money. I mean, Money is more, has more character and a bit, it has more action, but Time just flows just beautifully, kind of like a river. I mean, what do you think is better, Will? The Money solo or the Time solo?
Time,
really?
Yeah.
And why would you say that?
I'm not the only one who agrees that. I think it's rated higher, too. I think I was just reading that. that Time is, I think, like 21st in the top 100 guitar solos. So
should be up higher.
But he has like half of the solos on that list. So I mean, he's not doing too bad. David is.
But definitely
Time. I don't know. I guess I'm more partial to that kind of sound, I guess.
Yeah.
Because they're different sounds, so.
Yeah, Money a bit more jazzy, while Time goes more to the, you know, original sort of classic Pink Floyd sound. It seems more fitting. But definitely, Money is definitely up there. Really, really great. And so here we go. We've done Syd Barrett, the old electric guitarist for Pink Floyd, and he left because the band just couldn't handle him anymore. Here comes in David.
Coming in, just running in.
Coming in, singing.
Not on LSD, just... well, I'm...
On his guitar, singing for the band, becoming... a big leader of it. And Richard Wright, the song that we just played was Stay, is off Obscured by Clouds, or the album right before The Dark Side of the Moon. And Richard Wright is definitely an interesting character because he was more quiet, but...
The John Paul little bit of...
Yeah, he was kind of like the John Paul of the band, or the George Harrison.
He just really kept to himself. His guitar gently weeps. His piano gently weeps.
His piano. And, but definitely incredibly important because, he has a lot of jazz influences. So one would imagine that definitely played a big role in the making of The Dark Side of the Moon. And he's not your average keyboardist or pianist or whatever. The song Echoes was definitely an interesting one. How that song came on to be is that we have here Richard, who's playing it was the piano, and how they got that, because the song first starts out with a few hits from the piano, but it doesn't sound all there. We have what they did is that they ran a fan, and the sound would go through the fan. And, you know, I mean, have you ever tried this, Will? Have you ever had a fan on and you, like, talk into it?
Too many times, yeah.
And it kind of creates that weird, like... Darth Vader ghostly sort of sound?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably how the Pink Floyd came.
They were just playing around with the fan. Like, you guys.
This fan you is guys. The answer. Yeah, something
You're
like
genius.
That. We could use this.
Oh, my God. Get that fan in the studio right now.
Right now.
The fan is more famous than them. It's being attacked by women.
Yeah. Yeah, the fan gets all the ladies.
Yeah. Where's the fan? Okay.
But, so what they did is that they recorded the piano sound through the fan, and the recording instrument, the microphone, got that, and that's how we got Echoes. The bing, that.
I love it when people in the studio do that.
Like, you know,
Joy Division, Jimmy, Led Zeppelin, all those guys did the Beatles, weird little things in the studio.
For Yellow Submarine, the Beatles used, for sound effects, bubbles, and they grabbed this bucket of water and they swooshed it around.
Of course they did.
Of course they did.
Of course they did. They heard that and they're like, music. Like
everything they touch is automatically music, yeah. I suppose. Yeah, a bucket of water is definitely on the list of musical instruments.
Yeah, that's it's top. That's
it's taught
in
the schools.
Prince can play the bucket of water.
I haven't touched my bucket of water in a long time. I don't think I'm kind of rusty on it. But
I heard Fan can play bucket of water really good.
Oh, I love that guy.
I love Fan. I'm a huge fan.
I'm a huge fan of the Fan. But so the next member, and definitely one of the biggest members, he is the writer of the Pink Floyd. Here we have the writer of Dark Side of the Moon, Animals, and The Wall, Roger Waters. And Roger Waters is definitely an interesting character. He was I mean, you just look up the Pink Floyd interviews. He is a very interesting guy, and everything he says is just, you know, sounds like his musical lyrics, you know? The very, like, sly sort of fellow. And everything, you know, everything he wore in Pink Floyd was black. He had black pants, shirt, shoes, just, I guess, the original emo. That actually kind of makes kind of sense.
I get
Roger Waters, yeah. The original.
I guess I have negative connotations for the word emo, but
but if it's Roger,
and then positive for Rogers, so
yeah, of course.
They're conflicting.
So here we have Roger Waters, who's now the, you know, because before, for the Piper That Gets It Done, which was Pink Floyd's first album, Syd Barrett wrote every single song on there, and I'm sure, you know, Roger or Richard or whatever helped on it, but you know, here we have Roger, who's boom, now the central songwriter. And that definitely, you know, Pink Floyd went to, you know, cute little musical pop numbers, you know, like See Emily Play or Lucifer Sam, or, you know, Lucifer Sam's about a cat, here to actual philosophical, you know, I mean, Dark Side of the Moon, it has some very, very interesting stuff on it, themes of death and isolation and loneliness, you know what I mean?
Yeah. This is where the band kind of really hit their sound.
Really blossomed,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Blossom. I haven't.
I mean, you've heard The Wall, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah. I think that was the first album I listened to all the way through. It's my favorite album, actually.
The Wall was the first album you listened through all the way through?
Yeah.
Good choice.
Thank you, yes.
definitely a very good choice, because that album definitely, if to anyone who hasn't heard it, please, you know, put it on right after the show, because it definitely is Roger's greatest, I mean, along with Dark Side of the Moon, greatest lyrics. Here we have Money, which is another one by Mr. Rogers, the Pink Floyd, and definitely one of our favorites, and also shows David Gilmour and one of his greatest guitar solos. So here we go, Money from Dark Side of the Moon, everyone's favorite, on radio.dominican.edu, the Classic Corner. Do not go anywhere, this is about money.
Traveling set tonight, I think I need a lift.
So, what have we learned here? What we learned is that Roger Waters, from that song, and definitely from Dark Side of the Moon, is one of the greatest songwriters ever, because he created such an incredible song, album, and, you know, it's just kind of funny how Pink Floyd just picked up kind of like that, you know? Now that we think about it, here we have the new guitarist who turns out to be one of the greatest ever, a great singer.
No big deal.
And he's such a print on the band. I mean, it's not weird to see David with Pink Floyd at all, you know?
No, I think he just kind of fit in like a Lego piece, just kind of like
right there,
bam,
like a brick, another brick in the wall, basically.
I can't. No joke there. Yeah.
Here we have the new songwriter for the band is Roger Waters, and you know, just makes Dark Side of the Moon, just makes The Wall, no big deal.
It happens, right? Everyone does.
One day you're walking down the street and you make Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah. I mean, I think we did that like last week, like a couple times. I must have made like 3 albums comparable to Dark Side. Like.
Whatever.
It's no biggie.
So, in a nutshell, Pink Floyd definitely progressed further from when they lost Syd Barrett. You know, and we're not saying that Syd Barrett wasn't supposed to be originally in the band. Syd Barrett definitely had his moment with the Piper at the Gates of Dawn, which is, to me, a great album. Compared to all the others that Pink Floyd make, it does not stand. It's not as good, of course, in quality, but it has that nostalgic feeling in it, and, you know, it's one of the reasons to listen to the album, because of the nostalgic feeling. So Pink Floyd, after they lost, Dark Side of the Moon did not happen overnight, you know. They had a few albums that they had, you know, we have Saucer, Atom Heart, Mothermore, Umaguma, all those albums that were, they were okay. I mean, compared to the others that they were going to make. But, you know, they were lost as musicians, you know, without Syd. And Roger had to get on his feet, and same with David. So they kept going. They made Dark Side of the Moon. They became instant stars. Wish You Were Here, another important one. Animals, The Wall. The band later had some trouble. Actually, even after The Wall, they actually had some trouble, and it got worse and worse and worse, and which caused Richard Wright, the keyboardist, to leave the group, and Pink Floyd then made The Final Cut, which to me isn't really a Pink Floyd album. It's Roger Waters and Pink Floyd. He wrote the entire album, sang on every single song except Not Now, John, and you know, it's all about his dad. Roger left. We got back Richard. We have Richard, David, and Nick now. Momentary Lapse of Reason, 1987. Not that great of an album. And then 1994, the Pink Floyd finally reunited to make one last final album. Still without Roger, but with the 3 original members. And by this time, David is the lead songwriter. And The Division Bell is not that great of an album either, but definitely has its highlights. Including this next song playing, High Hopes. High Hopes by Pink Floyd is chronologically actually the last song by the band to be recorded, and the last song on the album. So we're going to leave you with that to view Pink Floyd as an incredible band. This is radio.dominican.edu, and we hope you had a good time. Thank you, Will, for also being on the show.
It's no problem.
Beyond the horizon of the place we lived when we were young, in a world of magnets and miracles, our thoughts strayed constantly and without boundary. The ring of the division bell had begun. Still be there.
before time took our dreams away, leaving the myriad small creatures trying to tie us to the ground, to a life consumed by slow decay. The grass was greener, the light was brighter, with friends around her. The nights of wonder, looking beyond the embers of bridges glowing behind us, a glimpse of how green it was on the other side. Steps taken forwards, but sleepwalking back again, dragged by the force of some inner tide.
The
fallen.